All right, welcome into the Fan Pregame, Sportsnet and Sportsnet 590 The Fan for the next hour. It's been a big one today across the station, unpacking the start of a new era in Toronto. Auston Matthews unveiled as the 26th captain in franchise history. Had that today at 11 a.m. and we'll be joined by GM Brad Treliving in a few minutes to talk about the route that got us to today's historical announcement.
Indeed, we will. And speaking of eras, we are definitely the Will Wagner era. We will talk about Billy's kid and the Blue Jays at large with Caitlin McGrath of The Athletic in about a half hour.
Okay, before we bring in Brad, a couple minutes here to talk about our thoughts from the press conference today. Of course, our text line is always open at 590-590. Standard message and data rates may apply. You can send us a tweet or a message. Yeah, it was a grand day. It was a loud, rowdy crowd at Real Sports. And, of course, we saw the actual physical handing of the jersey. We saw both John Tavares and Auston Matthews have a moment to talk about this journey and Brad Treliving himself. But what was your biggest takeaway?
I just thought the Tavares to Matthews exchange was all very on the nose because we had John Tavares come with a prepared script, which, if you don't love public speaking, then maybe you get the script going. But you also contrasted that with Matthews being laid back and speaking from the heart. And if it's me, and I'm looking towards a leader, someone I want to follow into the foxhole, I kind of want to be with the guy who's confident in what he feels over the guy who's got the peer-reviewed notes going, which John Tavares had. And I think that's one thing, if you're going to quibble at Tavares' work as captain of the Maple Leafs, is that the confidence in what you're saying, not trying to be perfect with your words and therefore saying nothing, to me, that got a little tired. Maybe it didn't get tired in the room. Maybe it matters. Not at all. But for me, I think this was probably time for a change. And I think there is a difference between the guy who is ultra confident and says what he feels and the guy who's very, very careful with his words. Because there's a difference there, I think it's worth exploring.
Yeah, and what we learned from the press conference, which was about 30 minutes or less, was that Brad Treliving and John Tavares were the ones that kind of initiated this conversation and brought it to Auston Matthews. And when Auston talked about what it was like to receive that phone call, he used the words he got chills and he couldn't really believe it was happening. And you could see and feel the excitement from Auston Matthews about taking on this responsibility. And whether you believe it's a responsibility that is just cosmetic with the C or if it ignites him and brings out a different level in him, I thought John Tavares' comments about how this is about a player maturing and being rewarded for the growth that he's given and that he saw that it was time to pass on that honor to Auston Matthews. That's the way I believe that I want to believe that it is, the way that it went through, right? Where John realizes that Auston has come into his own and is this time to be the leader of this team. And John is a part of that decision. And hopefully that's the way it is. We do know that John will wear an A as well. And so still some questions about this leadership group, but Matthews fired up, excited, knows the honor and the tradition that there's former Leafs in the crowd as well. So this is a big deal. It might be the biggest place to wear the C. It might be the most important place to wear the C. And what it changes come playoff success, who knows? But this is a day that is full of celebration because this is a young player who is one of the best in the league, who is going to be the face of your franchise.
You could be the coolest person on the planet. And I'm not saying Matthews is, but he's, cooler than a lot of people. And still,
cooler than you.
Yeah, definitely. And still being named the captain of a hockey team, which is another thing I didn't experience, is going to turn you into a kid again, right? I feel like you can't help but be a little bit of that goofy kid who just wants to be wearing the letter for your hockey team. It's very, very basic. And again, you can wear the cool earrings, have the cool suit on, be Auston Matthews, which he is 100% of the time. Mm-hmm. And now he's captain of the Maple Leafs 100% of the time. And that will be something of a juggling act, but I do think, and back to my previous point, is that him being himself may be the best version of a Maple Leafs captain with what they have right now, because people do naturally gravitate towards him. He has a magnetism around him and he says what he feels, and I think if more people around the Leafs said what they felt, it would help things.
I think that's fair. I think that everybody leads it in different ways, and there were definitely times where as fan base or as media or outsiders watching, you wanted more rah, 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 John Tavares, just show me something. But that's not who he is. And I think you nailed it when you said that's who we saw today at the podium. everything that's going to be written about the time that John was captain is about him as a professional and as a leader, and sets a standard, his work ethic and who he is as a person. And to sit up there on that stage, and I'm sure it's not comfortable, even though it's a day to celebrate, like really people are celebrating you not being the captain anymore. And that's probably excruciatingly hard for someone that came home, signed a contract, free agent, the pajamas, everything about it. But the way in which he presented himself, like he is full of class, there's no other way to put it, right? And now I wonder how that just transforms the next chapter of John Tavares' career, right? He's not going to be the guy that we hear from every single night. That's going to be on Auston Matthews' shoulders. And it's going to be exciting to see what kind of change that sparks into this team. All right. Without further ado, a guy that's been pretty busy. We appreciate you jumping on as Bradtree Living Toronto Maple Leafs General Manager. Brad, how's it going today?
I'm doing good. How are you guys doing today?
We're good. We're very thankful that you dropped this nice nugget into the middle of the summer for us after the Olympics ended and, you know, the Blue Jays are doing the Blue Jays things. It was like a gift from Bradtree Living and the Toronto Maple Leafs about the new announcement of the newest captain with Auston Matthews. So let's talk about where this change was sparked. I know you mentioned it today during the press conference, the conversation you had with John Tavares post the exit against the Boston Bruins. But can you walk us through a little bit where the dialogue began to eventually having Auston Matthews as the newest captain of the Maple Leafs?
Yeah, sure. Thanks for having me on, guys. You know, it's, I don't know if it's a one thing, right? As you know, something I was thinking about and we were thinking about internally here, and once the season ended, is you're always looking at ways that you can improve your team. And certainly no slight on John and the leadership he's provided. But more so as we, you know, I've been here a year and I've had a chance to watch this team from afar for years. And obviously when we're talking about Auston, you know, watched him as a young player, you know, at the U.S. program and has his career as he was drafted and came into the league and sort of how he's grown. And then, you know, this past year, my first year here, have a chance to sort of get behind the curtain and, you know, watch all of our players. But it's just really been, you know, the maturation of Auston and sort of where he has come, where he's at, and hopefully where he can continue to go. You know, it was a conversation I started with John at the end of the year, you know, feeling that this is the right time to, you know, make this change. And like I said, it certainly is no slight on what John has done as the leader and the captain of our team. It's really a recognition of where Auston is at now, where the position he has within our team, within the game. And so those conversations started with John, and, you know, as we continue to discuss it, you know, I think, as I said today, John really, from the onset, you know, saw it the same way we did. And I thought, you know, today, as much as it was a celebration of Auston and him, you know, taking on this responsibility, I thought John couldn't be more gracious, and it was real. It's, you know, as I commented on, I couldn't be more thankful of how he's handled it through this process. It's not easy, you know, it's not an easy process, but he was fully on board from the onset and, you know, made for what I thought was a real smooth transition. And now we move forward. And like I said, tomorrow these guys don't wake up as different people. You know, Auston, as we talk through this process, he doesn't have to change. You know, it's a different responsibility. There's a weight to it, which he understands. But, you know, we think it's the right time for him based upon the person he is, the player he is, you know, the leader he is. And John's not going to change. John's going to, you know, continue to be a real influential presence in our locker room. I think he's going to be a great support for Auston. But I just felt it was time that we made this change. And like I said, I couldn't be more happy for Auston and more thankful to John.
So whenever these ideas are discussed, Brad, mostly, I guess, on talk radio, the common refrain is, well, it's never easy to do that. How are you going to make that decision? How are you going to make it so that the egos don't get in the way? But the it's never easy thing didn't seem to apply here. Did these players make it easy for this to happen?
Yeah, they're never easy, but you're bang on, Justin, in terms of, the individuals involved, right? Like the word that I kept coming back to is in my own mind, in my conversations with John, is just how selfless he is, right? You know, at the end of the day, we've all got one goal in mind here. Making this change in the captaincy isn't the lightning rod that's just going to give us all the success we want. You make different, you keep trying to hit singles in improving your team, but we've just felt it was the right time. But what made the transition easy was going to make the transition easy is just, both the individuals. John, like I said, John, as he commented on today, he loved being the captain. It's a responsibility that he took very seriously. He embraced it. I thought he handled the responsibilities that go with that role tremendously well. But he recognized, where Austin was at and felt this was the proper move. And so it makes it a lot easier. It's never easy having discussions that affect people, but when you're in a position of leadership, you have to look out for what you think is best for your organization. And like I said, by no, this is not a slight on anyone, especially John, but we felt it was the right move, but it certainly does make, it smoother and easier when John's able to stand back, sit back and process it and think about it and come to the same conclusion. So certainly it just speaks to the class of the individual, the professionalism of John. And ultimately he's got one goal in mind. It's not to be, what's best for John. It's what's best for the team. And how do we continue to, reach the goals that we all want to reach. So it certainly made it smoother and easier, as you said, the way John was accepting.
Yeah, and John said it was a testament to like the maturation of Austin Matthews as a player and as a leader. And I wonder, and although it's been a short time for you with the Toronto Maple Leafs, where have you seen Austin's elevation in his leadership skills? Obviously, his play speaks for itself, but to take on this role comes with a lot of responsibility, and that will be shared. But where do you see Austin has grown into the leader that you see now and where you hope to take it as his contract continues to advance? And as he said, maybe to be a Leaf for life.
Yeah, Alicia, it's really, it's sort of an everyday thing for me that you just you watch and you observe. And to me, this role it's not about knocking down the door and making big speeches and yelling and screaming. It's certain people just have that leadership ability. As John does, Austin does. He's he walks in a room, people gravitate to him. To me, you're authentic, but people follow you when you do the right things. And, being around him now, like I said, sort of behind the curtain, you see the preparation he puts on. I say the people publicly, people get to see Austin, from 7 to 9:30 on game nights. We get to see him the other 22 hours a day and the work that he puts into his craft. It's elite. The preparation he has, the way he strives to get better, the way he pushes teammates to be better, the ability that he sees a broad view in terms of what, he's just a tremendous teammate. He's sympathetic to individuals when they're going through difficult times. He understands everybody's situation. So it's just, and that ability for people are drawn to follow him. And, sometimes people just have that ability. It became really apparent to me really early, that they see what he puts into his craft They respect, you know, the results that we see on the ice. Certainly there's a God-given talent that he has, but make no mistake, there's a ton of sweat equity that goes into it. He's as a committed athlete as I've been around. And you know, like I said, people are drawn to him. People are drawn to follow him. And he's just got that ability. There's a charisma to him. And I just think it's the right time. And he's prepared. He's eager for this challenge. He's eager for the responsibility that goes with you know, being a captain. And as we've talked a lot, this is not, we don't need him to change. We don't need him to be something different. You know, we need him to be who he is. And certainly he'll learn as he goes along this path. You know, we're fortunate, like I said, to have John by his side and other great leaders in our team. And, you know, this isn't just a responsibility put on one person's shoulders and say, okay, now you got to go be all to everyone. He's got a great support group around him. He'll lean on them. But he's got that it factor that people want to follow his lead.
We're on the phone with General Manager of the Toronto Maple Leafs, Brad Treliving. Okay, so you have some real honest conversations with John Tavares this summer, clearly. And John Tavares is eligible to sign an extension. Now, how much of those conversations, focused or got to his future? I mean, one thing was very clear here with his statement is that he still believes he's got a lot to offer, and I'm sure you guys believe he has a lot to offer this team from an on-ice perspective. Have you gained some clarity with regards to his future? Has he gained some clarity with regards to his future? And, will we be waiting to the end of the season to get more information as it pertains to John Tavares' future?
I guess that's a long way of saying, have we had any contract discussions with John?
That was a long way of saying. I'm still working on being, I'm still working on brevity, Brad.
You know what? Those are things that will, as I do with any discussion as it relates to contractual status, those will remain behind closed doors. And you know, these discussions that we had with respect to the captaincy is independent of any discussions we will have or may have with respect to contract negotiations. I think John still has a lot of hockey left in him, a lot of good hockey. And, you know, like I said, those things will remain private. I'm a big believer in John as a player and as a person. But our focus over the course of the last little while here was working through the process of what we announced here today. And, like I said, it was a real, real good day. John is just the consummate pro. And with respect to any contract stuff, that'll remain private between John, myself, his representative, and we'll address that at the appropriate time.
It depends on who you ask, but a lot of people believe that, hey, maybe the captain is sort of a trivial thing. I tend to disagree with that, and this might be a center of the universe thing, but I'll ask you this way. Does the captaincy matter the most in Toronto?
Well, I don't know if it matters the most, but there's certainly, listen, the uniqueness of this market, obviously the tradition of this team, the following of this team, I think it's a great responsibility. And I think the captaincy is not something that we should, of any team, I don't think it's anything that should be taken lightly. I also don't think it's something that should be overblown in terms of, you know, as I said earlier, all the responsibility for success or failure falls on one individual. I don't believe that, but there is a responsibility that goes with it. And certainly when you talk about being the captain of this team, the media following that we have, the fan following we have, the passion in the marketplace for this team, I think there's certainly some greater challenges, some responsibility, some time commitments as it relates to media, and so forth outside of the locker room. Inside the locker room, there's, you know, there's a responsibility, whether it's in Toronto or anywhere, that you're a captain, of just the responsibility of being ultimately at the front of the bus in terms of looking after your teammates, you know, communicating, whether it be to Craig, myself, on, you know, getting a gauge of the group, where things are at. You know, I think Austin will, you know, he's developing, as he has over the course of the summer, a relationship with Craig. They've, you know, they talk a lot, and that will just increase as we get closer to camp and through the season. So there is, I certainly am one that doesn't diminish the role of the captain. I think it's important. You have to have the right individual there. But certainly I think it's an important role in every organization, in any organization. But there's certainly some, like I said, some added responsibility just with the market that we're in here in Toronto, and you need to have the right personality and the right person that recognizes the role, as John did. And as I said, he took the role and responsibility to heart and very seriously, and I know Austin will do the same.
Brad, last one for you. Appreciate your time today. It's been about 14-ish months of your tenure as general manager for the Maple Leafs, so it's been a pretty busy one. New head coach, a new captain, a new president of MLSC to work with, lots of extensions, trades, et cetera. Did you imagine this inaugural stretch for you in this role to be so reconstructive and to be working on so many massive pieces? And is there anything left that you want to accomplish over this next little stretch before the season begins?
I would say it's exactly as I anticipated. I knew coming into the job, you know, when you talk, there's so many different facets to the job. When you look at, you know, some of the work that we've gotten done with contract extensions, I knew where, you know, players were at in terms of their contractual situations that we've dealt with. You know, I think it's the job, right? It's you know, there's always work to be done, and we're certainly, you know, not where we want to be in terms of, you know, how our season finished. So we, you know, we've got work to do. And, you know, in terms of, so I think it's exactly what I envisioned it would be. It's been, I think you imagine coming into this role in this market. It's exceeded anything I thought in terms of just, you know, the passion of this city, the passion of this fan base. It motivates you every day to deliver a product that our fans deserve, and that's what drives us every day. As far as preparing for the season, you know, I looked at the calendar today, what are we, 5 weeks or so from training camp. I don't think you're ever a finished product. So, you know, we continue to look at, you know, as I said, you know, at the end of the season, we continue to look at any way that we can make our team better. And that's what we try to do over the course of the season. Sometimes people are eagerly awaiting the big splash, the big home run. And sometimes those things happen. But I look at it of whether it's big or small, how can we make the team better today? And that's what we'll continue to do. We'll continue to look at some things. I think we've made some changes, whether it be to our coaching staff, our defense. I think our depth is better today than it was at the end of the season. We've got some young players that, you know, I think for the first time in a while on this team are really pushing. Some guys that were with our team last year that are evolving as young pros. We've got some coming. And we're going to continue to look at ways that we can tweak the roster here before training camp. And then as we get into camp and into the season, you know, the job of the manager is to look every day how you can make the team better. And that's what we continue to do, you know, whether it be before camp or as we get into camp. So it's been beyond, like I said, in some ways I knew what to expect, but it's probably been beyond what my expectations were, and I've enjoyed every minute of it.
Well, I think this week signaled the call back to work for a lot of writers in the city and a lot of us getting back into the swing of things. So we appreciate you kicking us into high gear, Brad, and enjoy the rest of August. And we'll be seeing you around the rinks, I'm sure, pretty soon. So thanks so much for your time today.
You bet. Thanks for having me on. Enjoy the rest of your summer, and we'll see you soon.
Thanks so much. That's Brad Tree Living. the general manager of the Toronto Maple Leafs after today's massive big break in news that we kind of knew about. But Auston Matthews, the 26th captain in franchise history. So it's great to get to talk to him today.
Yeah, I think the handling was definitely the most intriguing thing because we've known this for a while, right? There was the reports Monday night right after we were done our show. And I guess we had almost 48 hours to sort of prepare for what they were going to do. And I think the messaging intent was, hey, this was our idea, but John made the decision, right? And I do think a part of that is true, although I do think management ultimately made that decision. But what I do appreciate what the Maple Leafs did is that they made the decision, and they put it in John's hands, and John relayed the message. And I do think it's cool that those two players, who are one of 26 humans who have had this role, got the chance to pass it from one to the other on the phone, a private conversation that only those two were there for, clearly. And I do like that they granted John Tavares the space to pass it on in the way that he wanted to do. And I think it was probably important for both of those two players to have it go down that way instead of, hey, just a phone call from a higher up saying, this is the deal. I think, you know, these things can always be nitpicked, but I think the Maple Leafs acquitted themselves fairly well navigating a really difficult situation, or could have been a potentially difficult situation. And now they can get the 5 weeks to start straighten out so they can come into training camp not worrying about who the next captain might be.
Yeah, we'll be wondering who the next assistant captains will be, and John Tavares will wear an A, and so it'll be interesting to see how that does shuffle out, if it stays the status quo or if this is an opportunity to give new players a new voice under a new captain. I think that will be really interesting because there's specific players that have worn A's that are in specific situations with this team that if they're not wearing an A, it would be strange. So,
and it would definitely cause the sort of headline that they probably want to avoid.
And so I feel like that being a Mitch Marner, for example, probably we don't ruffle any feathers and we go forward with the team. But if this is more than just a cosmetic change, sometimes that has a ripple effect of some other assistant captains maybe being shuffled around. So that's still to come. And I think you're right. Like this needed to be, whether it's sold or really truly the fact that John Tavares comes to that conclusion. And I believe that. Like, he seems to me, and every time that we get to hear from him or hear about him, it is like he is a pro's pro. He is a leader of men in a way that maybe some people aren't rah-rah about, but it really, to me, when I watched it today and I heard what John had to say, and whether it's prepared means that he really wrote those things down, which is a smart way to do it, instead of rambling on like you did to Bradshaw Living, and he called you out for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he did.
It's okay. It was good. I laughed. I think that's what we want to see, and we'll be able to tell if that wasn't the case, you know, midway through the season, if there's some tension. I hope that this is all smooth and it's got a couple weeks to just go away and we'll see you at training camp.
I should write it down and read it just like John. Yeah.
I thought you were going to say that back, and I had my no. My mic was muted because I knew I was going to laugh if you said, oh, I should have written it out and said it on a story.
Yeah. No, but like, I think you're right about John Tavares. Clearly, the respect is through the roof from everyone, but these are two different things. The captain, the Toronto Maple Leafs, and just general respect as a professional are two different things. And again, to tie a bow on everything, I think everyone sort of agrees a change worth pursuing. The Maple Leafs have decided to do that.
It's happened before, so we'll see how this one shakes out. Okay, we'll take a quick break. We're going to have Caitlin McGrath join us from The Athletic. It's Wagner Mania. Last night was a spicy one. George Springer got really mad. We're going to try to get to the bottom of that, and we'll tee up tonight's game.
What could make George Springer mad?
I don't know, but something.
I have an idea.
So, okay, maybe we'll get to the bottom of it. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back with Caitlin McGrath.
Hey, it's Ben Ennis.
And I'm Brent Gunning.
We got you covered on all things Leafs, Raptors, and Blue Jays every weekday morning, 6 to 9.
It's the Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back on the Fan pregame, Sportsnet and Sportsnet 590 The Fan. If you missed it, we just chatted with Bradtree Living and Maple Leafs general manager after the unveiling of Auston Matthews with a big, nice C on that jersey. I have a John Tavares captain jersey and an Auston Matthews assistant captain jersey, and I think I'm going to be stitch ripping the letters.
Really?
Flipping them.
Seems
what
like
do
a gamble.
You mean?
Although you are a talented seamstress, aren't you?
Yes. That is what they would do if
so you
I
can
handed,
handle that?
Yep.
You should start a little business
you
on the side in the
you?
Toronto area where you're just
not that hard.
Making sure people have the letters in the right place.
Literally
places.
The easiest thing ever. Or I'll just go buy another
I
one.
Think
but
that's the
they're not just
thing
here
ever.
To sell jerseys, as Keith Pelley once told us. Okay, let's shift over to the Blue Jays. We are pregame in the game. It is a 9:45 start tonight against the Angels. We'll have that on Sportsnet, Sportsnet 590. The Fan, Caitlin McGrath, joins us from The Athletic. Caitlin, what's going on?
I'm good. How are you guys?
We're living in Wagner mania. I'm just trying to find a better way to say it. We had Babe Schneider last year, but like Willie Wagner, like and this is why you're the writer. What is this? What are we doing? What are we experiencing? I love it though.
Yeah. I mean, you couldn't ask for a better start from him, obviously. You know, I'm also surprised that it took this long, honestly, to call him up because you looked at his numbers all year and he's been hitting great. Obviously previously with the Houston organization. And then as soon as he came over from Buffalo, he's been nonstop hitting. And, you know, it just felt like the direction the Blue Jays are clearly in right now, where they're giving all these young kids kind of an audition here. It felt like, okay, like get him up here. This seems like a guy who, you know, deserves a shot at the major league level. So, I mean, it didn't take all that long. It was only a couple weeks ago that they obviously traded for him. But yeah, so far it's obviously been a very, very good start for him and, you know, a good start for the Blue Jays to see what they have in him.
So what were we missing then 2 weeks ago when it was like Jake Bloss and Joey Loperfido and Will Wagner? Like why was Will Wagner such a, or considered at least it seemed to be a throw-in? Like if the numbers were good and there's excitement and, you know, clearly he's playing a little bit above his potential at current moment, but like, why did it seem like the buzz around Will Wagner wasn't like the rest?
I mean, probably just because Bloss and Loperfido had already been in the major, so they felt like maybe more obvious major league pieces that you can slot into your club right away. They were guys that maybe people knew their names a little bit more. They were a little bit more familiar with them, whereas Wagner obviously hadn't made his major league debut yet. It felt like one of those like third toss-ins in a trade, you know, a guy that I'm not exactly sure where he was situated on all the various prospect lists. He was on there for the most part, but again, just maybe didn't have the name recognition of those other guys and hadn't made the major leagues yet. So less people were kind of familiar with him. I think that's probably why he felt like more of the throw-in. But I mean, when you looked at the numbers and when you kind of read about him and you know, the other guys that they brought into the organization, you know, he stood out to me just in terms of what he could offer. Obviously, maybe he stands out a little bit too because it's Blue Jays bringing in another, you know, baseball son. They, you know, they've had some good success with that too. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's probably a little bit of just name recognition, but after a couple games, I think people are going to remember the name Will Wagner.
They are. I'm a little, like, I try not to get too excited because Ailish mentioned the name Davis Schneider earlier. And, like, of course, he has that breakthrough, and it's like, wow, that's, you know, Pencilman next year, it'll be great, and it hasn't been great for him. And, you know, we'll see on Will Wagner, clearly. But the Blue Jays have this, like, backlog now of guys, like Ernie Clement, Davis Schneider, and Spencer Horowitz, Will Wagner now, Joey Loperfido. Like, what is the best result of all of this? Like, they're all going to get playing time. We're going to see them perform at the major league level, most of them. Like, is it so a couple become trade assets? Is it that they emerge as talents that you're going to be building around in 2025? Like, if this is half the roster, and it can't be, but if these guys play a huge role next year, the idea of being great in 2025 seems like a bit of a pipe dream.
Right, yeah, and it's a good point. I mean, the Blue Jays haven't been shy about using pieces to just trade them and acquire more major league talent. So, yeah, if it's something like flipping someone to get another piece that you need that fits into your team better, right? Like that fits a position that you need or, you know, can acquire some relievers or whatever you're looking for. So I think that, it, you know, the two scenarios that you mapped out are two ways that it could definitely go, whether it's a guy like Spencer Horowitz, maybe he does fit into the picture next year, right? He's got some versatility. Looks like he's a guy that has figured it out at the major league levels, hitting really well, is able to make those adjustments. has transitioned really nicely to second base, but can still give you a little bit of play at first base or corner outfield if you need him. So like maybe some guys are going to find their way and they're going to slot into your picture for next year. Maybe some guys are going to be able to perform enough and you can package them for trades that, you know, your team needs. I think that both of those could be good scenarios. I would agree with you that it's hard to look at the roster right now and find a way how they will compete next year. Like, I think that they need to do a lot of work in the off season, significantly rebuilding this team. Obviously the lineup needs to be overhauled because what you've put out there the last 2 years hasn't been good enough to be one of the better offenses in baseball. The bullpen's kind of fallen apart, and obviously there's going to be holes in your rotation, so you need to find some starters as well. So there's a lot of work to do. I think best case scenario is that a few guys that are playing and getting reps right now show you a little something, and either they fit into the picture next year or you can kind of be able to use them in a different way, whether that's trades or not.
Yeah, so Willie Wagner coming the fifth player in franchise history to record five hits in the first two games. That's part one of the story of last night. Part two was George Springer. I have never seen George Springer that mad about anything. What do you think happened? I know obviously he got ejected at the top of the seventh inning, and I believe it was after the review and he's yelling at the ump. But, like, what made George so mad?
I mean, I wish I knew. I don't know. It's hard to read lips. I don't know if John Boy has come up with that.
No, I'm waiting for John Boy.
Yeah, that's what we need, because maybe that'll help us uncover what exactly got George so hot. I mean, George is an emotional player. He's a pretty low-key guy, you know, off the field. But in terms of, you know, when he's playing those nine innings, he's really, really competitive. So while I don't know that I've seen him that mad before, certainly have seen him kind of express emotion on the field before. And, you know, who knows what got him so mad? I mean, I was watching the broadcast yesterday, and I did agree with, I think it was Caleb Joseph, saying, like, you know, something along the lines of that, you know, George is probably not faking getting hit by a pitch. Like, he's not, you know, he's the guy that's been in the league a long time. It's not like he's trying to, you know, get on base or rack up those numbers. I mean, he felt like he got hit, and he was just kind of confused as to why, you know, they weren't giving him his base. And so maybe it was just a little bit of, you know, frustration of that moment. Maybe with things boiling over, just obviously it's been a frustrating season for this club. A lot of players on the club, they know they fell short. They're not happy about that. So, you know, there could be a lot of different things rolled up into it. You know, maybe he's tired. They had to travel to the West Coast. Those things can affect people too. So I don't have a good answer for you. Maybe in a couple days we'll get John Boy to fill in the blanks for us.
Yeah, we need like the general fatigue in brackets as the reason
why.
He's
hangry. That's me when I'm hangry.
Oh, yeah. I can get there pretty quick, too. Vladdy is getting there pretty quick, too, career season. You've covered, if not the entirety, most of Vladdy's career. I mean, we looked at 2021 like, hey, he's never going to get there again. But watching him lately, it's like, well, this is the best version we've ever seen. So are we splitting hairs with that, or am I falling into a recency bias trap?
Yeah, I mean, there's probably things that he did slightly better in 21, and maybe there's things he's doing slightly better now. I haven't necessarily gone through all the numbers of fine-tooth comb and tried to figure it out. I mean, obviously he's not hitting as many home runs as he hit that year. You take away like his bad April or slow April and, you know, replace it with more of these recent numbers and he would be having an incredible year. I mean, the fact that he's gotten his batting average up to, I think it's the fourth best in the American League right now. And, you know, that has been a steady climb for him because, you know, when you look at the beginning of May, even like his numbers didn't jump off the page. I think even at the end of May, he only had 5 or 6 home runs. There was a while where we were like, is Vlad going to hit 20 home runs? Like, is he even going to get there? Like, and a lot of people around the team, you know, including Vlad himself and including, you know, John Schneider just kind of said like, you know, they're comfortable. He's doing the right things. He's swinging at the right pitches. He's going, along with his plan. He's happy with his plan at the plate and the way that he hits the ball, he hits it so hard. Like the power is going to come, like it's just naturally going to start showing up. And it has, you know, it looks like he's well on pace to at least hit 30 for, I think, the third time in his career. And so, yeah, like, again, if you maybe got rid of that slow month of April, I think we'd definitely be talking about a year that looks very, very similar to 21 with maybe just a touch less home runs. So it's very impressive. It's good timing for him, obviously, because he is entering a pretty pivotal point of his career right now.
Yeah, and I think last night was also another great step forward for Kevin Gausman, who I know has had a pretty up-and-down season at times, but a 7 innings pitched, obviously scoreless as well. And the game before that, he had 8 innings pitched. Like, these last two starts, and I know it's a smaller sample size, but have you seen something different with Gausman? Obviously, the length of the game that he's been able to be in, but, like, it just looks like he's kind of maybe, I don't know, turning a corner. He's older. We're wondering what's next for Kevin Gausman, but these two starts have been at least promising.
Yeah, for sure. And I think, like, you know, the start of the year was really weird for him. It didn't, you know, it's so far back now, but, you know, didn't have a full spring training, had a very, you know, quick transition from spring to the major leagues, didn't really build up properly. And I think that in hindsight, I think he's talked about this, probably not the best move. Like, if he could do it again, and I think even if the team could do it again, I think they would just put him on the IL and give him that traditional ramp up. You know, it would be okay if he missed a handful of starts at the beginning of the year at this point, compared to the way that I think that kind of lingered throughout the early parts of his season. And it's just been an up and down year. And he's obviously been frustrated. It's not the year that he's wanted to have, but it does seem like he's kind of figured it out a little bit, you know, using the fastball well. And he's a guy that obviously has great stuff. It's just a matter of executing it. I think there was also some things that he tweaked with his mechanics and his delivery. And so I think it's all just kind of come together, and it's a good thing. I mean, I think that obviously this year, again, didn't go the way that anybody wanted it to on the team, and they're not going to make the postseason. But I do think that there's a lot of guys on this team that, you know, would like to end their season individually well, whether it's Gausman having a strong last few starts here, even a guy like Bo Bichette, you know, can he get back before the year ends? I think it's possible that he gets back before the year ends. And maybe it is important just to kind of head into the offseason and into next season, kind of looking back at this year and reflecting, okay, it didn't go well, but at least I had a nice ending to it, or at least I ended on a positive note, if that's possible. So I think you look at a few guys, and yes, you know, they're not doing what they want. They're not playing meaningful baseball necessarily in the standings, but individually it can be meaningful for them in terms of just like getting right, ending on a strong note, figuring things out that didn't go right, and hopefully kind of being able to bring that into next season.
Okay, for speaking about ending on a high note, there's about 6 weeks left of baseball. What kind of stories does Caleb McGrath want to write? Is it maybe about Joey Votto making a start for his hometown team? Is it about going on a winning streak? Like, what is it that would get you fired up for Blue Jays baseball over the next 6 weeks?
Yeah, I mean, I think some of it is just getting to know some of the younger players. I mean, I haven't had a chance to meet Will Wagner yet because I haven't been on this road trip. So just like meeting some of the young players and, you know, seeing maybe a few more Blue Jays debuts could be fun. You know, things like that, things that help you kind of look forward to the future, I think is going to be my focus. Maybe there's a Joey Votto story in there. I don't know. I've given up trying to predict that storyline because it's taken all different twists and turns that I couldn't have predicted when they signed him back in March or whatever it was. So I think that more stories that help me and help the readers kind of look towards the future are things that I'm going to be focusing on.
Okay, well, we can't wait to read them. That's Caitlin McGrath from The Athletic. We appreciate your time. Enjoy the game tonight and the rest of baseball.
Thank you.
Thanks so much. Caitlin McGrath of The Athletic.
Every Blue Jays debut is like a Austin Matthews captaincy for a radio host.
Wow, Will Wagner.
Let's meet Will Wagner. To do. Exactly.
Wow, who's this guy? Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure if it's been done, but I kind of want to read more about Chris Bassett, not complaining about the roof being closed.
Just like his.
But the effect, you know, the adjustment he has to make.
The other pitcher had to pitch with the dome closed too, so.
Yeah, but the other pitcher doesn't have like 35 pitches that he needs to.
True.
Was manipulating his mechanics to throw it the right way. Like, it's a little bit
You're
much, and he probably
Bassett,
won't detail
eh?
It because everyone will be like, oh, the roof's closed, so I know I have to deal with this now
true.
When it comes to Bassett, but I'd like to read that one day.
So you just sent me a tweet. The Raptors just tweeted the eyeball emoji.
I hate the eyeball emoji tweets.
Just
if you know something, just say it.
The eyeball emoji, nothing else. And I know they're going to launch their official rebrand at some point. We know that everything's purple this year. Is it Wednesday, August 14th at 7 p.m.? Is it going to be 7:01 when we get off the air like Austin Matthews?
It very well could be.
It could be, but just keep an eye on the Toronto Raptors with their cryptic tweets. That's something that we'll pregame, but we don't know what it is. Okay, so Jays and Angels tonight. We both have picks from them, and they're both very similar. My straight-up pick is just under 8.5 in this game. Two good pitchers on the mound, Tyler Anderson and Jose Berríos. Obviously, we know Berríos is our guy, but Tyler Anderson's got a pretty good run with the Angels as well. I know we're pushing all the fun offense that we've been talking about with the Blue Jays, but I think, you know, third game of the set, I think this is going to be a bit of a quieter one.
Yeah, I was tempted to go with the Blue Jays again because they are frankly better than the LA Angels. But I took something similar, as you mentioned. Blue Jays and Angels under 4.5 runs in the first five innings, plus 100, just doing that to keep the bullpens out of the equation. We know the bullpens, at least bullpen for the Blue Jays, would be not necessarily the strong suit at current moment. So take them out. Hopefully Berríos and Tyler Anderson, who is by far, at least based on Fangraphs WAR, the most effective pitcher for the LA Angels. So Berríos and Anderson could be a decent pitching matchup. It could just be the Will Wagner show once again,
and
it could be a good pitching matchup between these two.
Okay. I need advice from our listeners quickly.
Okay.
So today I got an email that my ticket ballot, not for the Masters, but for the Open, British Open, was...
That's an early qualifier there.
Well, I wanted to
be excited about it.
I'm very excited, but when you hear ballot...
Not the Masters.
Okay, well, okay. Wow, folks.
Start over.
My ticket ballot for the Open next year at Royal Portrush was approved. I got tickets. I got the opportunity to buy tickets.
Okay.
Which is how...
So not a lottery. It's just like, hey, you can have these.
You can buy
the
tickets.
Full price?
Yes. But it's cheaper when you get selected and it's not resale. Anyway,
okay,
it's next summer, obviously, in Ireland, Northern Ireland, at Royal Portrush. Mm-hmm. And I've never been. And so I'm like, I definitely think I should go. Like, this is a once in a lifetime opportunity. So first of all, I've never won anything. This feels like winning something that you have to pay for, but like, just to be selected to give
like
you my money,
I feel like that's definitely impacting your decision. They're like, they want me to come.
Like the email, it got you
Here's
so excited. You've been successful in the ballot. Hurry. You only have a week to make the decision. You got to plan a whole trip around this. Can you go? And the tickets are for Sunday, the final day of the tournament. So I'm like, I think I got to do it. Like, I have Irish and Scottish roots. So it'd be a great opportunity to kind of go see both. This could not be closer to Scotland. You basically throw your ball over into Scotland. It's right there. So I think I want to do it. But
so the question is just, should I do it?
Should I do it? Have you gone? I mean, the Open is a bucket list thing for a lot of people.
I feel like, and I don't know this for a fact, clearly, that it would be the most, not intimate, but like the most access for a major championship in golf. Because we know the Masters, they're like, that's big business. The Masters, of course, they're trying to get as many people. Maybe that's not true. A lot of people on Masters grounds, though. Mm-hmm. U.S. Open, probably crazy. I guess the PGA Championship may be similar. But I feel like it would be the best chance to see the most at a major.
And what, like, a beautiful place. Like, it's stunning. Like, I looked at the course. It's right up against, like, the water. Like, it's beautiful. So basically I'm saying
weather
I'm going to
do it.
Weather
could make it less beautiful.
But you don't know. How am I supposed to decide?
No,
that's
part of the gamble.
They give you a week to make the decision to pay for the tickets. If not, they're offered to another fan and you're screwed. So I don't know what's holding me back.
You might have to bring some big slush pants. Like,
but that's kind of part of the fun.
Wasn't Xander wearing like massive snow pants when he was winning?
Isn't that kind of the fun of it too?
A little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, weather's fun until it's not.
Well.
But it'll be fun.
I mean, I think you kind of know when you're going there. You could be.
Just need some rain gear.
So breaking news is that Will Wagner's not in the lineup tonight. So that's devastating. That means our under is looking good, though. They just announced the lineup and there is
that
no
is true.
Will Wagner. So bet our under because he's the only guy other than Vladdy. Spencer Horwitz got a home run, too.
Yeah.
Anyway.
That's disappointing, though. Like,
I appreciate the support.
The good times roll, John.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, what, is he hurt? No. Tired? No.
Could be tired.
Anyway. Okay. Anything else?
No. I mean...
Oh, the Canadian Open news?
My answer to your question would be yes.
Okay.
Go. But yeah, I mean, I think you already made up your mind when you got that
I just
email.
Needed like one external voice that isn't just like myself being like, go. So I'll take one text in the text line that I should go.
Yeah, that's it. That's enough to convince you. What do you think the eyeball emoji represents for the Raptors?
I think it's going to have to do with their rebrand. But why is everybody doing things at 7 p.m. on a Wednesday in August?
We're like a minute away from New Jersey's?
Oh, I don't think it's a signing.
Logos?
Wouldn't we know about that?
The
jersey.
Someone would break it.
I think it should be the jersey. Okay. And if it's the chevron, I'm done. I need to see a dinosaur on that jersey. No more chevron.
They want a title with the chevron.
I just
Chevron will live forever.
They've chevroned it up too much.
No, they're going back in time.
Okay, purple. I agree. All right, folks, you got Blue Jays baseball a little later tonight at 9:45 on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and we will be back tomorrow. It is Baby Friday, and hopefully nothing breaks in the next 5 minutes. No, we'll be here anyway. See you then.